Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. You can please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. You are all welcome to our swollen Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord? And before we preach, please just help me once again welcome those that are here today for the first time. I'm not going to ask them to stand this time. I'm not going to ask them to do anything, but I just want you to thank God for them. Hallelujah. There are special people in our midst this morning. Amen. Let's celebrate all our VIPs, the people that are here for the first time. Let's thank God for their lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, if you are here and it's your first time, I want you to know that it means a lot to us that you chose us this morning. I'm sure some of you have passed this building many times. I hear that there's a guy who was passing here one time and he thought this was the house of somebody. He's right. It's the house of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you are here today and it's your very first time to enter the house of God in this area of Liedak, we want you to know that you are special. God has a word just for you. God is going to minister to your heart. God is going to bless your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is risen. And I want to first start by talking to our dear believers, the church, the children of God that are here today. I want to start by just saying a few words to your spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. Why is it so important for us to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus? Why is this a big deal to us as Christians? And why must it become a big deal to you? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. The Bible says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. What gives meaning to the preaching of the Word of God is not how intellectual the preacher is. It's not how eloquent he is. It's not even how powerful the preacher is. What gives meaning to the preaching of the gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Like every message that you've ever heard, the only reason why that message has a meaning is because Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there will be no need for us to preach. There will be no need. You are now seeing why it's so important that we celebrate his resurrection. Number two, if Christ is not risen from the dead, your faith is also empty. In other words, you shouldn't believe anything. Don't believe in God. Don't believe that it's empty. It's going nowhere. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then we shouldn't preach. You also shouldn't believe anything. Do you see how important it is? And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so without faith, we can't get anything done. Yet, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's empty. Now, what gives meaning to your faith is the fact that Christ rose from the dead. Say amen, somebody. Amen. So you see, the thing we are celebrating this morning is so important that if Christ remained in that grave, you and I will have nothing to believe. There'll be nothing to believe. The only reason why we believe in a God in heaven is because Jesus told us, I'm going back to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you there. I'm going to be talking to the Father there. Are you here?
Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Now let's go to verse 17. We're talking about If Christ is not risen, now, he said, if Christ is not risen, 17, are we still on? Yeah, your faith is futile. He repeats the same thing. Yeah. Then you are still in your sins. Hello, somebody. If Christ is not risen, brothers and sisters, we are still sinners, all of us. So we are all on our way to hell. If Christ is not risen, it gets worse. Look at verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, all the people that have died believing in Jesus, if Christ is not risen from the dead, all those people they have perished. It was in vain that they believe in Jesus. They are in hell right now. It didn't mean anything that they stop lying, they stop fornicating, they stop doing bad things. If Christ is not risen from the dead, those people that died, died for nothing. Look at how important Christ being risen from the dead is. How powerful it is. Are you still here? Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to verse 19. Somebody is getting blessed now. Now, Paul goes on to say, if it in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. NLT it for the sake of English. Can we read it together? I'm saying, can we read it together? Yes. 1, 2, 3, let's go. If our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. If our hope in Christ, welcome, ma, welcome. If our hope in Christ is only for this life. In other words, you only believe in Christ because you are alive on earth. For things to get in the world. The Bible says, if that is the only reason why you and I believe in Christ, we are worse than the beggar by the street. Like when now you only believe in Christ for things of this life. You believe in Christ for a car. You believe in Christ for a house. You believe in Christ for money. Like you only believe in Christ for things of this life. We are now learning that if that's the only reason why you believe in Christ, then of all the people in this world, you are the worst. Why is Paul saying this? Because there is more to it than this life. There is more. There is more. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at verse 20, our last verse for now. But, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. But in fact, Christ has raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, the fact, there's a fact. And the fact is Christ has been raised from the dead. And the other fact is that he is not the only one who will rise from the dead. He rose from the dead as the first fruit. Like he is the first to rise from the dead. But he rose from the dead to tell us, just like him, those that will die in him, a day is coming where they too will rise from the dead. They will rise from the dead. I saw a picture just this past week of this guy that there are these new coffins they have. I think they haven't reached South Africa. That these new coffins that they design now is a transparent coffin. Yeah. The coffin is transparent. You see everything Do you get it? So this guy is wearing a Gucci, like he's, they are burying him with a Gucci something. I don't, it's a Gucci jacket. A Gucci leather jacket. Yes. He's wearing some very expensive shoes. And a very expensive trouser. So he didn't want those things to be inside a coffin, like people shouldn't see those things. So he requested that when he dies, the coffin must be transparent, because people must see he's being buried in a Gucci jacket with a very powerful jean. And then in the picture, his girlfriend is standing next to him. She's also wearing a Gucci jacket, and she's saying goodbye to her lover. I think this guy is not understanding when he's giving this instruction that this thing, as soon as you give your last breath, this thing means nothing. Nothing. I'm sorry to tell you. It means nothing. From the moment you give your last breath, the only thing that matters, where was you? Who did you believe? Who did you believe? I came to tell you, Jesus Christ is not the only person that will rise from the dead. Amen. We are celebrating Jesus today, but the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus is the first fruit. You see, he is the first of a great harvest. And that harvest includes people like you and me. Can I talk to you this morning? I want to talk to you real quickly. Somebody said, but Pastor, you've been talking. I've been introducing the thing. I haven't spoken. I want to speak now. So I want to quickly talk to you on a subject I have captioned. Once dead, but now alive. Once dead. But that is not the end of the story of somebody. Once dead, but that is not the end, but now alive. That shall become your story in the name of Jesus. Because that is what we are celebrating about Jesus this morning. That Jesus was once dead, but this morning, and he's been alive, and we are just remembering ourselves that he is alive. But in the book of Luke 15, verse 24, look at this. The Bible says, this son of mine was dead. And he is alive again. Sounds like Jesus. But it is not Jesus. What has happened to Jesus will happen to somebody this morning. This son of mine was dead, is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. The Bible says, so they began to celebrate. Can I announce something to you? This morning there will be great celebration for sons that were dead but are now alive, sons that were lost but are now found. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell them, look at me for the last time. After the preaching, you will be looking at another me. Look at this version of me for the last time. This version of me for the last time. Hallelujah. There are businesses that are here. Businesses once dead. But this morning, the business will come back to life again. There are families that are here. Right now, the family is in trouble, but at the end of this message, that family will come back to life in the name of Jesus.
There are ministries that are here. God has called you. You know that God gave you a word. But after a few years, the word of God started dying on the inside of you. You have come to resurrection morning. My son that was dead is coming back to life again. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. Jesus came to show us death is not the end. Death is two things. Number one, death is a passage. You don't enter life until you die. Do you understand? It's a passage. Don't be afraid of death. You should, but not in a bad way. Listen. Death is a passage. You need to die to live. Are you getting it? So sometimes things die not to die for good. They die so that something better can come out of that death, and that thing can live longer than what was alive. Many businesses that are sustained now died first. They came out, then they died. After they died, they came out, and when they came out stronger than the first time they existed. Am I talking to somebody here? So don't allow the thing that got spoiled to, that don't make it be the end. Lazarus, come forth. Even though you are dead 4 days, 4 years, four destinies, the word of God can still call you out. Please take your seat. We're going to look at a little story quickly. And at the end of that story, I will make an altar call for you to come and receive life. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Once dead, but now alive. You will say that about your marriage. You will say that about your child's destiny. There are parents that are here this morning. You're already beginning to give up on this child. You are literally feeling this child is dead. Once dead, but now alive. Some of you, you've already given up on your future because you didn't pass matric. Or you didn't pass matric with the right marks. You are already giving up your vision and your dream. You're already feeling this thing will no more happen. Once dead, but now alive in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've received a report from the doctor, and the report is telling you it's over. This thing cannot change. When you look at the report, you look at the finances in the family, you look at how things are at home, you can tell yourself, I think this is the end. But I came to tell you, there's a word from God for us this morning. Once dead, but now. Say with me, but now, now, now. Now. Alive. Alive. Praise the Lord. God is going to bless you this morning in no small way. Luke 15 verse 11. To illustrate this point further, let's go with Jesus as he tells this story. A man had how many sons?
Two sons.
Brothers, he said there are only two types of people. There are many things in life that are only two. I've shared this many times before. God made it that way to make your choice easier. When things are three, four, five, it's become difficult to choose. So the things that are important are only two. You have day and you have night. You have light and you have darkness. Do you understand? Yes. You have good and you have bad. You have life, you have death. You have blessings, and you have curses. A lot of things that are very important, that require important choices, God didn't give you too many options. He just made them two. So that it is easy to choose. Are you still here? So you have heaven and you have hell. It's only two. It's to make your choice easy. And you have prosperity and then you have poverty. The choice is yours. The choice is always yours. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Let's look at that quickly before we continue here. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death. You see, there are two. Between blessings and curses. Do you realize that people are not cursed? They chose the curse. He says, I have given you the choice. I have given you the choice. Please stop feeling that you are a victim. You are not a victim as you think you are. If you are a victim at all, it's a victim of your choices. I have given you the choice. The choice is not in the hands of the Father. The choice is not in the hands of your boss. The choice is not even in the hands of your father or your mother. The choice is in your hands. I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. The choice you make. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing in your life by chance. It's a choice. It's not chance. Tell your neighbor, it's not chance. It's choice. It's not chance. It's choice. Anything that you see in your life is a choice. You don't like it, choose another one. Choose another one. If you don't like what you see around you, stop crying. Just change your choice. Review your choice. Choose. Nobody says, oh, that you will choose life. It is a cry of his heart. Oh, I'm giving you the choice, but I wish you will choose life. You know why he's saying he wish? Because many people don't choose life. Human beings have proven over and over and over again that they don't know how to choose. We're presented with Jesus and Barabbas, the worst criminal that ever lived. And Pilate asked us to choose. Look at what we chose. Why am I going far? Look at the type of boyfriend you've been choosing for yourself ever since you started your life. Look at the women of your life. Sometimes just go back in your photo history. Do you get this? Go back in your photo history and take all the Draculas that you've been choosing for yourself since the days of time. I've been in class. I went to school just like all of you here. Or most of you, I don't know. But we all went to school. In the class, you will find a guy, good-looking guy. You understand? He's studying. He's passing. Girls are not choosing that guy. That is getting good marks and all of those things. There's another guy in the class. He comes late. Do you understand that guy? He comes late. When the teacher is teaching, he's challenging the teacher. He sits at the back. He's showing chippies the whole time. You will be shocked that all the girls in class, they are not interested in this good guy who is getting good marks. Born again guy. This born again guy that is holding the Bible, they are not interested in this born again guy. They want this guy, this one that has a knife. Do you understand? He has things. He has things. So this is not the first time that we are proving to ourselves we don't choose well usually. That's why he said, oh, I wish that you will choose life. That you will choose life. This morning, God is going to give you another opportunity. Another opportunity to choose life. To choose life. And he said, how I wish you will choose life. You will choose life. Let's go back to our story quickly. Luke 15, 11. Two sons. So two people. And you belong to one of the two groups. Verse 12. The Bible says, the youngest son told his father, I want my share of your estate now. When?
Now.
First of all, he chose to speak. Then when he chose to speak, this is what came out of his mouth. I want my share of your. I thought you would say my share of mine. But I want my share of your estate. Now. I mean, it's yours, but I want my own out of it now. Do you see that problems have already started? We are already having problems. Just here already we're having problems. What is our first problem that we are having here? This is how people start choosing death. Without realizing they are choosing death. You are impatient. A lot of things that have now led to death in your life, the only door they use to enter your life is called the door of impatience. You cannot wait. This boy, if he could wait, the thing is yours already. But you have to wait. Even if it's yours, it still has a time frame attached to it. This is a baby saying, I'm tired of being in the womb. I keep hearing you guys enjoying there, out there. I keep hearing good noise. I also want to come out. I will say to him, no, you are only 4 months inside. Wait. They say, no. I can't wait anymore. Most of these babies that kick unnecessarily, they are very impatient babies. They want to come out before the time. Ask the person sitting next to you, were you kicking a lot in the, when, were you kicking a lot? He said, your impatience didn't start today. From the days of the womb. You were impatient. I want it now. That's a problem that's going to lead to death. This person that wants things now will end up opening the door of death. Most accidents on the road are caused by two things, influence of substance and also impatience. Or number three, anger. But even anger rides from impatience. Most people in jail are in jail because of impatience. The things that took them to jail, if they were patient to wait, they could have had those things without having to go to jail. I told you guys just about 2 weeks ago, I was doing a study on jail of women. No, jails that are built for women in America, where they put all the notorious women of America that are bad women. So this guy, he goes to all those jails of women to ask them, why are you here? What got you here? He came to this girl. I think she's 23 years old. Yes. She's going to be in jail for 50 years. And she has 4 kids. She's 23. She has 4 kids. And she's going to be in jail for 50 years. So he asked her. I'm very surprised. You are too young, first of all, to have all these kids. She couldn't wait, Baba. She couldn't wait. You are already seeing the son. This one couldn't wait. Then also where she is. You know why she's there? I think she was there for like, if it's not $100, $300, something. A very, very loose amount. A very loose amount that got her to that place. So this guy says, but don't you think if you had just taken even a normal job, you know, like just to work as a waiter, you could have hit that money even in one night? She says, it's true. It's true. But I had bad friends. So we had done it many times and it worked. So we thought it was going to work again, but this time we got caught. Impatience. Give me my estate. The share of your estate that belongs to me, give it to me now. Give it to me now. I pray for you this morning. Anything that is pinching you to go before the time, to speak before the time, to invest before the time, to start before the time, may it be cursed in the name of Jesus Christ. May you have the grace to wait for the right time. For the right time. Just here, you will spare yourself so much death if you could learn to wait for the right time. For the right time. A younger son. So this is especially true for young people. We are very impatient. We are very impatient. We always feel all these rules are to stop us from enjoying. Francis, can I be honest with you? The people that are making SAB a lucrative company in South Africa today are not people with jobs. Are unemployed people, people without jobs. They drink more than people with jobs. Yeah. I keep showing this example to my wife that these three boys that always come and beg at South Village, I'm sure you've come across them, especially if they see you have a car, they always come for you to ask for money. Maybe they're even in the building, I don't know. These boys, I told my wife, I can't believe this. You see, these boys, they wake up in the morning, they come and stand there by the corner. Do you understand? They want a free lift to South Village to go and beg. To go and beg. I told my wife, look at the street. People are going to work, they are walking. Beggars are waiting for a lift. Yes, people with jobs, people that are actually going to work somewhere, they pay the price of working. A person who is going to beg at South Village can't walk. He can't walk. He will stand there until he gets a lift to South Village. Then he's going to reach South Village, beg the whole day. Then equally, after he has begged and gotten money, he will still not walk or take a taxi. He start begging again. He stayed there, start back. What a life. What a life. You wake up at the time you want. You come and stand by the road. You get a free lift. And you go, you get free bees the whole day. And the story is the same. I always wait for Boroto. I know. Whatever he's saying, the thing is going to end up Boroto. The same formula. Hey, ask his uncle, ask his daddy, ask his. This guy, he can be my elder brother. I say, ask his daddy, Copa Favre and Boroto. The whole day, Boroto. Even that word is tired. I tell you. After that, instead of taking a taxi, at least. No. Back. Somebody must take me back home. I've worked the whole day. I'm tired. Are you learning something? Yeah. That's why you want things now. You don't want to pay the price, you see. You don't want to pay the price. So the Bible says his father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. Unfortunately, this is what God deals with. First of all, when we come to God, we are very impatient and we are never to God. We never go to God for God. We go to him for something we want. There's something you have. It's your estate. Your estate. I want part of it. Give me something. It's never about him. It's about what you and I want. That's why we come. A lot of people only go to church when they have a problem. They call the pastor when there's a crisis. If things are flowing, there's good food. They never call the pastor. If there's good food in the house, we are having a good time. Why don't you also think, no, I think I should call my pastor to also come and enjoy this good food. No. You call pastor when you are about to die. Something has gone wrong. But pastor represents, don't get wrong about, don't, pastor has to do it. That's the job of a pastor. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying it also affects even our relationship with God. Because it means we only come to God when there's a problem. Or when we want something from him. So God said, okay, you want it, no problem, you can have it. 13. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. Wow, so really all you wanted was my money, you see. That's all you wanted. You wanted the money. Now that you got the money, you are going far out of reach, out of sight. How many people have come to church for God to bless them with a job? As soon as God blessed them with the job, they took all their belongings. They packed all their belongings and moved in a distant land. Never to be seen again. I tell you. This is what we do to God all the time. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
You are being blessed. You are learning how to behave. Hallelujah. See, the fact that it says a few days later, again, he couldn't wait. He couldn't, like it was boiling in him. I want to see myself out of here. I want to see myself out of this house. Yeah. Most of you that are doing matric, your mind is, I want to see myself out of this house. Yes, I want to go to varsity like other people. I want to enjoy my life. And what is actually going is that you don't want to cook. You don't want to clean. You don't want to even bath. That you're having a problem. Yes. Yes. You are having a problem because your mother keeps asking you, did you bath today? Did you brush your teeth today? So you want to be in a distant land where nobody asks you such questions. You can hit a week without brushing your teeth. Nobody will ask you a question. That's why you cannot wait to go to a distant land, far from your father, far from the house. Yeah. You don't want us to see you. A lot of you, you feel your house is a prison. Yeah, you feel you are being imprisoned. Your father is a prison owner and your mother is a prison warden. She is moving around with prison keys all the time. Some of you are feeling ABC is a prison. Pastor Pascal is a prison owner and Lady Pastor Pubi is a prison warden. She is moving around with the keys. So whenever we call you, here we go again. I wonder what I did this time. You can't wait to say to me, Pastor, you know, I'm going to miss church, you know. You're not going to miss any church. You are not interested. It's the truth. You know, Pastor, this school thing. Can I mean I was enjoying church? Now they say I must go to Val. Can you imagine, Pastor Val? Pastor, I'm going to be away. But no problem, Pastor. I will stay in touch. Meanwhile, in their heart, they are saying, bye-bye, Muruti. You will never see me again. Just a few days, you are packing all your belongings. Small Pretoria, you are going here, you are packing all your belongings. Everything, you are packing everything. Slippers. Everything, including all clothes, you are taking everything. You see, it's because you are not happy with how things are in the house. They ask you to do a lot of work. And you don't like it. You don't like it. You don't like this job that every day they say to you, hey, wake up, wake up. Make me tea. Did you cook? When are you just started washing your series? I mean, it's just starting. This thing is just starting. That's when you see the car of your mother has entered. Yeah, you see. My problems have started. So you know what? You can't wait to get out of this prison. You can't wait. Some of you are even using marriage. Like, you can't wait to get married so that you can have your life. I want to tell you something. I think you are misled. You are misled. I was telling my wife, we're going through some pictures and we saw the picture of a particular person. Do you understand? I told my wife, you know, when our daughter was marrying this brother, I think she was deceived. You know, he looked so calm, so nice. Do you understand? Like, she felt to herself, yeah, I will be queen of queens, you know, owner of everything. I will manipulate everything. Because the guy looked so nice and quiet and, my God. This nowadays, the things that are coming from there, so I was telling my wife, even me, when I look at the picture, I can't see what is happening now. Like, it doesn't show that the brother let's leave it. But I tell you, you are making a mistake in thinking that when you get married, your freedom has come. You work. During the day and during the night. You work. At least in your house, you are working only during the day. When it's night, you are resting. In the marriage, you work. No, I don't blame you. Some of you are like, what is Pastor talking about? Don't worry. Stay quiet. Just understand what I'm saying to you here. That marriage has never been a spare wheel.
You will work. Better learn to cook. Better learn to clean. That cleaning your mother is trying to teach you, you are running away from it. You are not running away from it. You are running to it. That cleaning the pots that you are saying, no, I can't rest in this house. I want my life. You are running to the pot, my friend. You are running to the pots. At least in your mother's house, when you don't cook, somebody will still cook. Do you understand? You can be lying in bed the whole day. Your mother will still make a plan. In your house, who will cook if you don't cook? It's you and this guy. And he already told you, me, I don't cook. You have to cook. I married you. I paid Lobola for you in full. You have to cook this thing. And after you cook, you have to come and serve me. After you serve me, you prepare yourself. I'm preaching the word right here in Kalanyon. I'm telling you the truth. Please take your seat. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? He moved to a distant land and there he wasted. That's what you are now learning. You waste what you don't understand. You waste what you got before the time. You don't understand what you have, so you'll waste it. You'll waste it. You want to quickly jump off? You're going to waste a lot of things. A lot of things are going to be wasted. Let me mention some of the things that will be wasted when you jump before the time. Time will be wasted. Opportunities will be wasted. Careers will be wasted. A lot of things you could have become, you might never become because you jump before the time. He wasted all his money. I can put anything there instead of money. She wasted all her time. He wasted all his resources. Some have wasted their lungs. He wasted all his lungs in wild living. Wild living. You're wasting your body parts. Wild living. And some of you are already in this place. You are living wild. You say, I'm only young once. You are not living. You are wasting. There's a difference. You are wasting. You are wasting. You didn't finish school. And some of you are in school right now. But it's just with your body. Your mind is out. You are not there. You just go there to, you know. You are not there. You are wasting. This word has come to tell you, stop wasting. 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 Yeah. The challenge about life is that some of these things, once you waste them, it takes a long time before the cycle comes back to give you another chance. Sometimes it doesn't come back at all. Yeah. I know people who wasted a job opportunity. It's been 15 years now. 15 years. The cycle hasn't come back with another job opportunity for them. But the day they lost that job, it was like, no, who cares? I'll get another job even tomorrow if I want. You think so? It's not like that. You waste your mother's voice, it might take a long time. I've been waiting for years. I've never heard my mother's voice again. Do you understand? Yeah, it goes. Sometimes it comes back. sometimes it never comes back. I've been waiting to hear my mother's voice. I've never heard my mother's voice again in this life. I've been waiting to hear my father shout. My father used to shout. He had a strong voice. When he comes from fire, you can hear him screaming. We start running. Everybody's running away. And we didn't like it. But today, I wish I could hear that shout. But it's nowhere to be found. Don't waste your opportunity when you have it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Some of you, right now, you have an opportunity to learn to cook, but you are rather watching TV. You are complaining, why is mommy not getting a nanny to cook? You have an opportunity. Don't waste it. Life might take you in a way that for you to get a job, it will be so hard, you might need that skill of cooking that you learn from your house to survive a few years before the real job can come. And if you have learned to cook, you have learned to bake, you have learned to mix juice, you have learned to do a lot of things, you will be resourceful. You are in the house as a young man. You can learn to do electricals, fixing the bulbs, fixing things, getting things in order, cutting the grass. There are people today in this Lidak that are making a living from cutting grass. You might tell me, ah, that's not a job. Somebody is putting food on the table with cutting grass. You are saying it's not a job, but you are putting nothing on the table. You are putting nothing on the table. Why can't you learn to cut grass? Am I saying you will be a grass cutter all your life? No. You can be a grass cutter company owner. Am I communicating with you? Look at your life and look at the opportunities you are wasting. Look at the opportunities that you are wasting. Right now, some of you have an opportunity to become spiritual. You are done with school. You pass your matric. Maybe you are in a gap year right now. You have an opportunity to be spiritual. When you were studying, you didn't get that chance. But now you have a whole year before you. You can read the Bible. You can come for prayer. You can develop your spirit for the future. Rather, you are choosing to drink. You are choosing to party. And wasting the opportunity to become a spiritual person. A day is going to come when you will need prayer. But there's no time to pray. You are already in the heat. There's no time to pray. You have to work. You have to act. There's no time to pray. Many prayers that you are praying today are not for today. You are praying today for your future children. You are praying today for your future husband. You are praying today for your future wife. You are praying today for things that are going to happen tomorrow. Because tomorrow you might not have time. But you are wasting this time that you could have invested. You are wasting it. I'm talking to somebody here. I'm talking to somebody here, and I'm telling you, stop wasting all your money in wild living. Stop wasting your body. This body is the only thing that keeps you on earth. You joke with your body, you will clear from earth faster than you can imagine. You don't have a body, you don't have a right to be on earth. You are on earth because of the body you have. Without a body, you cannot be on earth. And you are wasting your body so that you can clear out of earth before the time. When I see my younger brothers smoking their bodies away, drinking their bodies away, partying all night, involved in all kinds of drugs. I think we don't understand why we have a body. This thing
is your passport to be on earth. You waste this thing, you cannot be here. You cannot be here. No matter how much you want to be here, you can't be here. Those that have learned this, they protect this thing so that they can be here for 80 years, 85 years, 90 years. The way some of us are living, I don't think you, if God doesn't help you and you catch wisdom today, I don't think we'll celebrate your 50th anniversary. I mean, your 50th birthday. I don't think you will see your grandchildren or even your children if you continue like this. The body is not for experiment. It's for experience. God gave you a body not to experiment with your body. God gave you a body to have an experience on earth. Don't waste your body. Don't waste your eyes. Don't waste your mouth. Don't waste your lungs or stomach. Don't waste your body. And you will see how long you will be here. Many of your friends that are joking with their lives, you will attend their funerals. Those that are not coming to hear my word, you will be at their funeral. You say, hey, Pastor spoke about this thing. This guy is gone. Do you know how many young people I have buried between just end of last year and now? Quite a number. Less than 30, less than 40. Clearing like that. Let's stop wasting. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed? Yes. Let's go real quickly now. We are at the end. He wasted his money in wild living. You shall invest your money in godly living. Amen. Yes, you will invest your money in godly living, not wild living. And I want to say this as I close this chapter. I'm not against you enjoying your life, you know. But you know, I want to be honest with you. I don't know any great person that parties all night. Maybe you do, but I don't know any great person that spends the day in taverns, that sleeps with everything that has a skirt. I don't know one great person that is like that. About 2 years ago, I did a study on the richest people in the world. You know, what I discovered shocked me. I didn't expect to discover what I discovered. Up until Elon Musk, all of them were married. All of them were married. And that was a discovery to me, that these people understood to sustain wealth, you need a stable family. There are certain things you are wishing to have, but your behavior cannot sustain those things. Even if God gives them to you, you can't sustain them. Need a stable family. You actually need a husband and a wife and children for certain things to work. I was shocked by that. It is not what I went to look for, but I was shocked by discovering that all of them, he will show you his wife, he will show you the children, over and above everything that he has. But our generation seems to think being great means you sleep with this one, 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 and then you sleep with this one, then you sleep with that. And you say, my God. Those with resources, they pick one and they try to stay there. Now, I know they might mess up there and there, but not the way we are messing up, not the way we are busy with it. So you now learn that thing God did in the garden will always be what works. You gotta have your wife and your family, and you build from there. Wild living, you're not interested in marriage. You're not interested in having a stable family. You want to live. You want to enjoy. And you waste everything.
other day, somebody says to me, hey, Pastor, this guy is not coming to church. I said, why? He said, no, his friends are laughing at him. The friends are saying, hey, you are going to the church of Pastor Pascal. He's going to give you a wife just now. He's going to give you a wife just now. I said, And the guy said, hey, me, I don't want a wife. I don't want a wife. I said to him, bruh, I don't want to lie to you. You come here, I'll give you a wife. I will. And I will arrange your lobola thing. I will make sure that happens. Because, listen to me. A strong society is built not by just strong individuals, number one, strong families. You cannot have a strong society if you don't have strong families. So Satan is destroying us by making sure there's no family at all, so that we don't have a future. We don't have a future. So I'm not interested in giving you a wife. I'm interested in us having a strong community. And you cannot have a strong community if everybody is sleeping with everybody. You cannot have it. You cannot have it. You only have a strong community when the family, you know, the nucleus family is stable. The father is there. The mother is there. Then you start building healthy children. And from healthy children, you have healthy citizens. And from healthy citizens, you have a healthy country. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Yeah, you are saying to me, but Pastor, me, I don't know it in my house. Yeah, that's why you have to start it. You have to start it. Maybe there's nobody in the house, in your family, that has ever done it that way. My wife was the first to wear a white dress in her whole lineage. The first to wear a white dress. After my wife wore a white dress, I think in less than 2 years, her aunt wore a white dress. Her uncle wore a white dress,
my God. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about.
Then the one that shocked me, her younger brother also wore the thing. Do you understand? Then her own mother.
You are not hearing what I'm saying this morning.
Her own mother. The mother also said, hey, me, I'm not, you will not leave me behind. I'm also entering this thing. And I was there when I was saying to the mother, do you do? She said, I do. To her husband. It all started with my wife. And I'm asking you a question. Why can't it start with you? Why can't it start with you? Right where you are. Why can't you say, from me, this thing ends here. Something new will start from here going forward. Put your hands together for Jesus, if you understand what I'm talking about. Something new can start with you. Something new can start with you. I have told the young men of this church, listen to me. If you put together the money you are drinking with in 5 months, you can buy a bicycle, sir. You can buy a bicycle. And if you buy a bicycle today, you've already changed your life. You've already changed your life. By buying a bicycle, you've changed your life already. But some of you are, what is a bicycle? What is a bicycle? That's why your life is not going anywhere. I never started by buying a car. I bought a bike. I rode a bike. I thought I was taking my wife to work with a bike. I taught her to ride the bike. She almost killed herself, so I took it away from her. We started with the scooter. Yeah, the scooter. That's how your pastor started. Black scooter from China. That's how I started my journey. Today you are seeing me with a small BMW. You want it. I didn't start there. First of all, I worked for years. Then when I started, I bought a scooter. I was not too proud. I was riding my scooter with honor.
This is what I can do for now. And I'm going to ride my scooter. And I'm going to enjoy my scooter. Today, God has opened other doors. You are looking at your money and you are saying, this is too small for a car. Who is talking about a car? I'm saying, start with a bike. Get a bike. Show me that you can take care of a bike. Show me. Show me that you can take care of a bike and another bike. And it's a matter of time. This person will go from bike to scooter. From scooter to quad bike. From quad bike to the first car. Once these things start entering your life, they don't want to go. You have to understand that principle. It's difficult for something to start coming when there's nothing inside. Like you want a car, but there's nothing inside. Nothing. It's difficult for the car to come. The car is saying, I don't see anybody there. Why must I come there? Show the car. There's a bike here. There's a broken scooter there. I think you can now come. Then the car will come. That's spiritual things. My God, what a swelling Sunday. The word is swelling. The word of God is swelling. I tell you, the word is swelling. Verse 14. Let's go. Verse 14. About the time his money ran out. And that's what I was telling you. No matter how much youth you have, the youth will run out. Things run out. They don't stay. You will not remain young. Please don't become like the people I see on the street of Lidako. They are walking aimlessly. They wasted their opportunities. Nobody wants to employ them. They are too old to be employed. And they didn't secure anything to sustain them in those days of darkness. So they woke up in the morning, they just start walking, wishing and hoping to find 100 rent or something. You joke with your life, you'll be surprised to see yourself walking aimlessly. Aimlessly. Where are you going? I don't know. Don't waste your life. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. Starving now. There's no money. You wake up in the morning, there's nothing and there's no plan for anything. You are starving. Verse 15. He persuaded the local farmer to hire him and the man sent him into the field to feed pigs. And some of us, you can see that things are no more working. But instead of you agreeing with yourself, I made a mistake. I wasn't supposed to leave the house. I wasn't supposed to leave the church. I wasn't supposed to leave this person. Rather than retracing your steps and humbling yourself to say, look, I made a mistake. Forgive me. No, you want to fix it. You want to fix it yourself. You want to fix it. You know that where you are, you can't even eat. And you know that if you could just change something, it will work. But you are too proud to say, Ash, I made a mistake. Forgive me. There's a young man here. I don't know if he's here today. I was advising him the other day because his relationship with his mother was terrible. Terrible. And I'm glad the other day he came to me. He said to me, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I have applied what you told me. Me and my mother, now things are a bit better. He told me something that hurt me. He told me he had a terrible argument with his mother. And he left the house. Left holding. And he told me, Pastor, I was not anywhere. I was just roaming around. When I'm hungry, I go and drink water somewhere. Whole day, 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 8, 9,
said, when it was around 11, I said, ish, I think maybe now mommy is sleeping. Let me go. So I said, okay. Entered. Shoo. Slept a few hours. He said, pastor, when it was 5, I don't know whether it was 5 or 6, before my mother could wake up, I took off again. I left. I said, my boy, do you know that maybe your mother never slept that whole night? Wondering where you are. And you made her suffering to continue the next day by making sure she doesn't even know you were in the house. I said, what you are doing is wrong. What you are doing is wrong. This woman carried you for 9 months. 9. After you were born, you couldn't walk. She carried you more. Is that how you are rewarding her? By not talking to her? No matter what she did, is that how you say thank you to your mother for carrying you for 9 months and carrying you after you are born? Is that how you do it? Hey, I say, my son, even if your mother doesn't curse you, you're already cursed. You're already cursed. You're already cursed. But it's not too late to go back and correct this thing. Go correct this thing. So after he came and said, Ish, pastor, me and my mother is changing. He said, I said, yes. And you know, the mother might never come to this church. That's not the point. We are building strong families. That's the main point. We are building strong families. Instead of going around to feed pigs. You know you are busy with pigs when you look as if you are dirty. Inside and out, you are dirty. You are no more clean. You are no more innocent. You're no more the person you used to be. We know you've been moving around with pigs. You're moving around with pigs. What are you doing with pigs? It's because you were too impatient to wait for the right time. As I'm talking now, some of you, you know you are with pigs at the moment. You look at your life, it looks like you are in a piggish environment. It's piggish. Looks more like a piggish place than a human place. It's a piggish place. Once dead, but now alive. Verse 16. The young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs with looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. He said, once you are off, you must know nothing is going to work. Yeah, and that's what I want to, that's why I'm insisting on this. You must know once you are off, nothing is going to work. You will try many things. You will try different jobs. You will even get jobs. Do you understand? But at the end of the day, you will still be hungry. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 17. Let's close quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When he finally came to his senses, and I think that is what God has been doing here this morning. To help somebody to come. Finally. To your senses. Do you think God has been speaking sense to you this morning? You're coming back to your senses. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here am I dying of hunger. Dying of loneliness, dying with trouble at home. 18. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. There are two people we are sinning against. Heaven means God in heaven.
But the people down here that God put under you, some of us have sinned against our mothers. That's why I kept hitting those things. Some of you have sinned against your father, your pastor. Yes, you must recognize I've made a mistake. I've missed it. And there's nothing wrong with you acknowledging. You are not God. You are a human being. You can make mistakes. When you make a mistake, don't be proud. Accept I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I wasn't supposed to talk like that. I wasn't supposed to leave. I wasn't supposed to do this. I made a mistake. Recognize your mistake. Ask God. And this morning we're going to ask God to forgive us. But after you go out of here, God is going to forgive you. When you also go out there, that other person, I want to push you, also go there and correct it. Correct it. Don't just fix here with God. Then you walk out of there, you continue messing around. Correct it. Whoever the person is it your husband? Is it your father? Is it your mother? Is it your brother? Correct it. Don't be too proud. Your life is getting stuck here. 19. He says, I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. 20. So he returned home to his father. And I believe that is what you're going to do right now. A lot of you are going to return home to your heavenly father. You're going to come back to your heavenly father and going to say, Daddy, I've messed up. I haven't been living right. Daddy, forgive me. I've messed up. Praise the Lord. Filled, the Bible says, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. This is what is going to happen to you this morning. When you come back, there will be no judgment, no accusations, no why did you do it? No. The Father will welcome you back. I said the Father will welcome you back. 21. Praise the Lord. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. 22. But his father said to his servant, quick, bring the finest robe in the house. Put it on him. Give a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. We don't have time to take you through all of this, but what I can tell you here is that God wants to restore you. God wants to restore you. If we are giving you a robe because you came half naked, we are giving you sandals because you came barefooted. We are putting a ring because you see you've lost your glory, you've lost your value. But God says, I'm going to restore those things back into your life. Can I tell you something this morning? Our God is a God of a second chance. Our God is a God of another opportunity. So don't feel bad because of what Pastor said. Pastor is not telling you, if you can return home now, God wants to restore you. He wants to help you. He said, no, I know you've messed up, but we can fix it up. Praise the Lord. 23. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we all be on our feet, please? Wow. Put your hands together for the living Jesus. Now, I want you to look at the last verse together with me because this is where our whole talk was this morning. Look at verse 24. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. This can become your story this morning. I was dead, but I've returned to life. Because Jesus is life. I was lost. Many times I felt lost. So if you are feeling lost this morning, you are not the first. And you are not the only. I felt lost many times.
But when you are lost, don't stay lost. God is giving you an opportunity this morning. You can be found back in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Can you close your eyes this morning and bow your head? I just want you to start praying and thank God for the word that you have received. I believe that the word has come with a lot of wisdom. Come on, just begin to talk to God right now. Thank Him for the word. Thank Him for the word. Thank Him for speaking to us today. Once dead, now I'm alive. Come on, start thanking Him right now for the word that has come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for blessing us today with your presence, with your word. We receive this word with thanksgiving. We thank you for this word, oh Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you are correcting my steps this morning. You are correcting my steps. You have spoken to me. Precious Holy Spirit, take over now. Take over now. Take control over every life, every soul, anyone, anything that is dead this morning, Lord. We look to you for life. We look to you for life this morning, Father. I thank you right now in this building. People are going to return to Jesus. People are going to return to life. Oh, those that are lost, your hand is finding them back in the house this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for the blood of Jesus to start sweeping over this ground right now and to start healing every heart. Every heart. Start healing. Start restoring. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Anything that is dead in you, anything that is dead in you, this morning, the Father is here. He's saying, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to give you another chance. You can come back home. It is okay. You can come back home. It is okay. You can come back home. It is okay. You can come back home. Don't stay away. Don't stay with pigs. Don't stay with pigs. Don't stay in hunger. You can come back home. You can come back home. I'm talking to somebody. You feel it's too bad. You feel God has rejected you. You feel God doesn't care. I said no. God is here. His presence is here. He wants to give you another chance. He wants to give you another chance. He wants to give you another chance. He wants to help you. Don't run away from God. Run to God. Run to God. Not away from God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Every eye closed and every head bowed. We have now come to that moment of choice. You can choose to stay away from Him in a distant land. Or you can choose to come back home. You are one choice away. One choice away. The presence of God is here. The power of God is here. You can make the right choice today. Maybe you've been making a series of bad choices. The first good choice you made was to come to church on resurrection morning. But the best choice you can make now is to choose life. Choose life. I'm going to count up to three. And you are saying, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want to choose life. I want to come back home. I want Jesus back in my life. I want God. I want to correct these mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes. I want to correct it. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. Pastor, please pray with me. I want Jesus. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want God to come back into my life. When you hear three, choose life. Don't be proud. Don't say, what will people think? Nobody cares. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. One. Two.
3.
Raise your right hand if you want life. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Raise it high. If you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want life this morning. God bless you. I see all these hands. God bless you. God bless you. I see all these hands. God bless you. God bless you. You can take down your hands. Now, there are people that are here. You are just like the prodigal son. You were home. But then you left home. And ever since you left home, things are not okay. Why can't you decide to also come back home today? You are saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to God. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. At the count of 3, I also want to pray for you. Don't think too big of yourself. Just decide, just like a child. Jesus says, unless you become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Become like a child before the Father. I'm not saying be childish. I'm saying be childlike, like a child. And just do like a child. Come and receive help from above. Pastor, I want to recommit myself. I feel I have lost it. I want to recommit myself. At the count of 3, you can also raise your hand. Pastor, I will pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. I want to recommit myself. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to recommit. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. You can take your hands down. I'm going to give the last call now. You wanted to raise your hand, but you are unsure of yourself. Brother, then you are the person I'm talking to. You feel like raising your hand, but you are afraid. Sister, you are the person I'm talking to. I want to give you your last chance before I call the people. You can decide now. Life is a choice, and I want you to choose life. There is nothing wrong, I said this morning. You can decide to choose life by agreeing with these words. Pastor, what you said, I need it. Help me. Pray with me. At the count of 3, Pastor, I also want to join that prayer with you. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. Pastor, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I see those hands. God bless you all. Now, you raise your hand first, second, or third time. Wherever you are in the building, collect all your belongings and come and join me on stage here. Let's pray together with you. Make your way. Just stop clapping for them as they
Thank
come.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Please, if you raise your hand,
Thank
come.
You,
if you raise your hand,
Thank
come.
You, Lord.
Don't stay. Don't stay.
Thank
come.
Jesus.
Make the decision
you,
and come. 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 Come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can we encourage the people with
Hallelujah.
By clapping, please?
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Please
Thank
don't
you,
stay
Jesus.
Where you are. Make
Hallelujah.
Your way. Come. Come.
Glory
come.
To God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm still waiting for a few of you. You are, there's a war going on the inside of you. You are like, hey, should I go? Will they make me a member of the church? Did I mention anything about the church here?
Thank you,
I'm
Jesus.
Talking to you about you and God.
Yes.
It's not about a church.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with the church in the first place.
Hallelujah.
But we just want to help you.
Hallelujah.
Do the right thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What a blessing.
Woo!
What a blessing.
Glory to God.
This can be a start for
yes.
you.
Yes.
Your
yes.
journey can start this morning.
Yes.
On this ground. I'm waiting for you. You're saying, Pastor, I want to be included in that prayer.
Yes.
I'm waiting for you.
Hallelujah.
I'm waiting for you.
Thank
Anyone?
You, Jesus.
Before I pray,
Thank you,
I'm
Lord.
Waiting for you. Pastor, I want to be included.
Hallelujah.
I want to be included.
Hallelujah.
I want to be included.
Glory
I'm waiting
to
for you.
Jesus.
I want to be included.
Hallelujah.
Make your way.
Hallelujah.
Make your way. I
Hallelujah.
Want to be included.
Hallelujah.
I want to be included.
Praise
I want to be included.
Jesus.
Oh yes.
Praise you, Lord.
I want to be included.
Praise you, Lord.
I want to be included.
Praise you.
More. Put
Thank
your hands
you,
together.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to be included.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lady Pastor.
Hallelujah. Can we lift up our hands to Jesus, all of us in the building? You're making a surrender to Jesus. You're making a commitment to God. You are belonging to Him. Come on, raise up your voice and repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, Morena Jesu, I surrender my life to you today. Kinela bophelo ba me kajeko. Ho wena. I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my sins. Intshwarele dibetsa me. and wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again. E ke a dumela gore o ntshwetse. Me ka letsatsi la boraro wa tsoga gape. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. Di tsaka di tshwaretswe. I am justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I'm born again. Ke tsetswe ga bosha. I'm a child of God. I'm alive in God. I'm no longer dead. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for this mighty harvest of souls, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that there is a mighty celebration in heaven because those who were once dead are now alive again. Those who were once lost have been found again. Lord, I thank you that you are holding them with your invisible hands, that you are holding every one of them with your hand, oh God, and that you will help them in this journey of life. You will help them to live for you. You will help them to hunger for you, no longer hunger just for food that is temporary, but hunger for the living water and thirst for the living water. The Bible says those who drink from this water will never thirst again, oh God. Yes. We plead the blood of Jesus over all of them. Jesus. We thank you, Father, that this salvation is permanent, yes, that they will stay, that they will bear fruit, and that their fruit will abide. We thank you, Lord, that their names are written in the Lamb's book of life, yes, that Jesus. One day when we are all gone, one day when we leave this earth, that they will stand before you, Jesus, and they will hear you say to them, well done, good and faithful servant, oh God. We thank you that when they depart this earth, that they will be with you in heaven, oh God. Yes. That they have chosen life. They have chosen to be with you. They have chosen heaven today, oh God. Thank you for that power of decision, oh God. Help them as they walk out of this church. Help them remember who they are. Help them remember that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Help them to never forget to run back to you all the time. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we have given thanks. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.